morning, everybody. We've been working through a sermon series on the upside down kingdom, and today's reading is very upside down. I think you'd know that just by having heard that last bit. Let's pray that God would reveal himself to us. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that by your word, you will continue to renew and remake us, that we might truly be right side up, even though it feels upside down. May your word dwell in us and transform us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been going through the sermon series Upside Down Kingdom, and it's very amazing the things that Jesus calls us to do. It's not as the world would have us live. It's quite different. And as you read about Jesus in the scriptures, you see that he's upside down, and so were his disciples. Upside down compared to what those people were expecting him to do, just in general. I want to start with a quote from Pascal. I can't say his first name, I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'll just go with Mr. Pascal. Many people despise religion. They hate it and are afraid that it may be true. The cure for this is first to show that religion does not conflict with reason, but does deserve our respect. Then we should make it attractive so that people wish that it were true. Finally, we should demonstrate that it penetrates the deepest mysteries of the human condition. Well, friends, what we're going to talk about today is one of the deepest mysteries of the human condition. Because we're pretty good at having enemies, aren't we? And if love your enemies can happen, and Jesus can help it happen, then it penetrates one of the deepest mysteries of the human condition. True? If Christians could enact these verses of Jesus, which are radical, then perhaps people may be willing to listen more to the message of the kingdom of God. Amazing passages today. Very, very hard to do, to love your enemies. But I just want to set it in context a bit. We started from Luke 6, from verse 27 and 28. But I want to take us back just a few verses earlier to show that Jesus was talking about some other things to his disciples. Like the Sermon on the Mount, he was doing this one, but it was on the plain. And he said to them, "Blessed are you when people hate you." What? When they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Now that's code words for Jesus talking about himself, the Son of Man. "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." So Jesus is saying to those who are listening, and there was a crowd there, that sometimes people will hate you and curse you because of the message you are bringing. And Jesus was going around teaching his people about the kingdom of God being with you, of preaching that God is amongst us. In Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is breaking in. Repent and believe. And Jesus says that there will be times when people exclude you, insult you, and hate you, and reject you, and call you almost evil, because you're aligned with this message. A few weeks ago, Greg talked about the division that Jesus spoke about. There will be division between the line of when people have allegiance to Jesus or if they don't. And this is part of that. That there'll be times when people reject you because of the message you bear. And they'll almost treat you like enemies. I remember a few years ago I was staying at someone's house and I had a book with me called The Pursuit of God. And I just left it out because I was reading it. And when the person whose house we were staying in, I was staying with a friend of mine and was staying in his sister's house. When she saw this book, she's like, "Oh, who's reading this?" Me? "Well, you're a fool." And she would just fully attack me. Attack me because of the message of the kingdom of God. Because my name was attached to Jesus, I was hated. Whereas up until that point, very pleasant. I didn't like that. I'm just giving now verses some context that Jesus is teaching us that we will have enemies. That there will be some people who don't like us at all because we are aligned with Jesus Christ. And he knew that. Very interesting as well that what he said a few verses later. "Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Very interesting. I wonder when the church is so accepted by culture, if we have actually lost the edge of the gospel. I wonder. There should be points of resistance because by nature we revert to breakdown. By nature we revert to doing evil out of our own heart and selfish living. And so always the Christian message will be pointing and prophetically speaking out to a culture. And if we get so close that we're all the same, we need to be careful, I think. So I think we should expect there will always be a difference from what the Christian message is to what culture is saying. And we are feeling that in a few areas at the moment, aren't we? So we shouldn't be surprised by it. But when people hate us because of our allegiance, what are we to do? What are we to do? There are three ways that we can put Jesus' words to practice. One is, in this whole context today of loving your enemies, the first is that when it's the message that people hate us for. Another can be when there's an oppressive force in our country, say, and there are literal enemies. Like in Jesus' day, when Jesus was speaking to his people, there were Romans. And Romans were a military occupying force in Israel and right across the ancient world, actually. And they were seen by Jewish people as their enemies. Absolute enemies. A Roman could say, well, carrying his backpack, "Right, I've had enough of this. You, carry my pack." You ever heard of the Bible verse where Jesus said, if someone makes you carry a load for 1 mile or go 1 mile, Jesus says, actually, go 2. Right? Now, the first one, by law, if a Roman soldier said, "You carry my stuff," you had to, by law. They could force you, and if you didn't, they could. But the second mile, you didn't have to do that. Jesus was showing how you could love your enemies and make them think, what are these people doing? They're not doing it because they have to. Some of what Jesus, and I'm about to read here from Luke 6, Jesus is actually talking directly about the Roman oppression too. So not just the words of Jesus being aligned to Jesus, but what to do when an actual enemy is in your midst. How can you live? And then a third way that I think we can take these passages is when we have our own enemies. Have you got any enemies? I know some people think, oh, well, I don't really, and that might be true of you, but I think for the most part, all of us in some aspect of our life do have enemies, even if it's just Collingwood supporters. Nah, joking, Collingwood. I know Collingwood supporters are good, actually. But there are enemies that some of us have. How do we go about living a Christian life in the face of having people who are hostile to us? How do we do it? Well, just amazing what Jesus calls us to do. He says, I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Oh my goodness. That almost sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Because with love, you have this gooey feeling, right? When you love something, we've got this gooey feeling. Well, can you have a gooey feeling about your enemy who you hate? Can you? So, I don't think you can. So I think quite clearly here, Jesus is showing that the love your enemy is not the gooey feeling, right? Because you can't gooey feeling and enemy all at the same time, because then they wouldn't be your enemy, they'd be your friend, someone you love. So love is more than a feeling, as Don Francisco would say. How would he say it, Greg? Love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. Wise words, Don Francisco. Love, in this case, is an action. Is an action. And these are the things that Jesus calls us to do. Love your enemy, do good to those who hate you. Isn't that upside down? It is remarkably upside down. Bless those who are cursing you. My goodness. Pray for those who mistreat you. These are radical, radical words. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt. Give to those who ask you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. That give to anyone who asks you, it makes more sense as well in the context of a Roman soldier. Because I say, oh, David, give me your phone. And if he doesn't, he's disobeying what Jesus said. Give it. You've got to give it, right? No. Okay, it's not that. But if a Roman says, give me this, I'm taking it for the cause, and you say, give it back, give it back, give it back, you're just going to get yourself into trouble here. You can't win by fighting back at this point. So just give it. Don't worry about it. In that particular one, that makes much more sense and is more livable, not just to water down the message, but it actually makes a whole lot more sense in the context of someone who has power over you. But then Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you. And this is where it becomes really radical again. And this is where the actions show love. Well, if I treat my enemy badly, then I'd expect them to do what I do to them, which is treat me badly back, right? But imagine if you had no food. Okay? Imagine if you had no food. What would you want your enemy to do to you then? You would want them to give you some. You would want them to show mercy and compassion and to help you. When you see your enemy on the ground, the natural way that we would react is, suck it up, princess. Yes, they're down, they're out. Boom! Right, that's the way we tend to work in the world, actually. We revel in the demise of our enemy. but how Jesus would like us to respond instead is when we see them in need, to not treat them as they deserve, to not repay evil for evil, but rather do a loving thing and treat them as your friend rather than someone who deserves your cursing. Be merciful. This is revolutionary. Now you may say, well, Jesus, you don't know my enemies. You don't know how bad they are. You don't know what's happened to me. And I know full well I don't know what's happened to you. So in saying and talking about this loving your enemies, I know that this runs deep. The pain that enemies have often inflicted to you goes right to the heart, and you may well have carried this burden for a very long time, and there might be so much pain attached to it. God knows that too. God knows that too. A wise old Christian, Augustine of Hippo, once said, "You have enemies, for who can live on this earth without them? Take heed to yourself, love them. In no way can your enemy so hurt you by his violence as you hurt yourself if you love him not." How interesting. But why is that? Why do we hurt ourselves when we don't love our enemy? It's because we've got a burden that's so great within us. If we've got an enemy, then we've got hatred. Right? With an enemy goes hatred. And that will tear us up from inside out until we don't have an enemy anymore. And normally how we get rid of that, how we solve that problem, is we destroy them. We destroy them. Then there's no more enemy and we have peace. But until then, there's something not right within us. Jesus wants us to love our enemy. Some of the cases that Jesus gave in Luke 6 are fairly specific to his day. But this is the vibe of the thing, if you want to go for the castle quote. The vibe of the thing of what Jesus is saying here is, do unto others as you would have them do to you. If you are in a bind, would you want your enemy to help you? That is how we treat others. There's a big reward, however, if we do. I know this is tough to do, but the reward is great. But love your enemies, Jesus says in verse 35. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High. This is the reason why I want to commend you and me to do all of these upside down things. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I have. This is the same type of thing that Jesus says in most of these. The reason for us doing it is so that we can be like our Father. And one of the things that God does is love enemies. That's the reason Jesus ended up on the cross. Because he was loving those who God had every right to smite, had every right to kick out, had every right to treat badly and to repay. But instead, he chose to be merciful and to forgive and to love. We read there in verse 35 that he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. And the goal of putting these things into practice is to be merciful just as our Father is merciful. The gift of grace that God has given to us in our Jesus, forgiving us on the cross, having all of the things that we've done to him that caused us to be enemies, have those forgiven and overlooked, and doing something so kind for us as we love our enemies, we are showing by the fruit of our lives that we are part of his family, that we are part of the branch of the tree of God, because we are loving those whom the world would think we should curse, and we pray for them instead. I've got a friend or two, and one of my friends once received a note. And this guy said, excuse the French in here, I'm getting old and buggered. However, as much as I detested you while you were in Hamilton, I thank God that you found peace and life in our Heavenly Father. I sincerely congratulate you on your mission and wish you and your family well. I was brought up to forgive your enemies, but because of our human nature, this does take time. I'm sending with a gift on loan to you to have for 2 months and to return to me at my address. You and whoever are welcome to stay at our home. No charge. And come to a Lutheran service with us. This guy hated my friend. Hated, hated, hated. And when he'd heard that he'd become a Christian, something broke. And he thought, actually, I'm meant to be loving my enemy, and this is taking forever. But now that you're a Christian, I might do it. But Jesus calls us to do that before they become a Christian. And so this guy, and it's an awesome story all the same, he sent, being a Lutheran, he loved Martin Luther, he sent his prized possession of his copy of Martin Luther preaching to put in this other person's house as a symbol that we are no longer enemies, and bring it back and stay at my house. Remember the quote I read to start with? I've got to find it first, and then we can remember it. Come on, here we go. With Pascal saying we should demonstrate that the gospel penetrates the deepest mysteries of the human condition. Well, this story shows that the gospel can indeed break through. The hatred of enemies can be broken. And one of the other things that may well turn as you bless your enemies, as you pray for them, as you do good for them, as you help them, their heart might change towards you. The cycle of hatred that flows around, tit for tat, tit for tat. The chain that binds that loop may be broken. And you may well end up with a cherished friend and brother or sister. I know that as they stand as an enemy, that is so hard to comprehend. It is almost impossible to believe. But the power of the gospel, the power of the renewal that God wants to bring at the end, that he's wanting to renew here and now too, could flood this space and bring peace. This is upside down. No two ways about it. This is a hard teaching. No two ways about it. But this is what Jesus did. No two ways about it. And as we do the same, as we ask him for strength, pleading with him to help us to love our enemies, with gritted teeth we ask him to bless them. With wrung hands we pray for them. May God continue to renew us from within and remake us more and more into his likeness as children of the King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.